like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love flows, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
All right, who's ready for the Word of God? Brilliant. Well, we're going to start a new series today. You may have already figured out the title. Yeah, great. I just figured it. Wow, somebody, how did you know that? You're amazing. So we're doing relationships this month, and so we wanted to do a little bit of teaching on that as usual, but I want to do it a little bit differently than perhaps we've done it in the past. I've read a lot of books on relationship and marriages and all of this kind of stuff, and the 24 principles and the 64 things that you need to do every morning, and you know, just the going really, really deep. But I found sometimes we get so obsessed with going deep that we miss the simple. And there is something significant in the simple. I think that the Son of God, who created the world, who broke it down at a neuron and DNA level, spent his entire ministry life making it simple. You know, isn't it interesting that the Word became flesh, not spiritual? Isn't that interesting? That the very complex became very uncomplicated, so that he could relate. And out of everything, he didn't come as a doctor of theology, as a great rabbi. He came as a tradie. Married to questionable parents, probably from Woodford. You know, it was all interesting. but I find that phenomenal, that in his lineage, in the lineage of the guy who is representing God, is some very questionable characters. There was murderers. There was adulterers. Hey, there was even a prostitute. That's cool. You know, could you imagine doing your, you know how you do the DNA ancestry.com? Can you imagine Jesus doing his? You go, wee. You know, like Trish said, how phenomenal, hey, that you couldn't even get a job at these places that you go, and then you're speaking to the ones who would never employ you. You go, man, next time I'm going to charge you double. I find it amazing. So when we're talking about relationships over this next little while, I want to keep it really, really simple. I'm excited too, because Pastor Jenny's going to come and share as well with me. I'm part of this journey just to keep it, I guess grounded. And this isn't all about a cure-all in 30 minutes and how to have an amazing, perfect relationship. It's more like a V drink. You know, have you seen the ad? Put it up there. You know, it's that massive hit that improves you a bit. So that's what this series is all about. So I just want you to be able to relax in this. And if you're not married, it's okay. There's a good chance one day you might be. So you will need this. But here's the good news. Everything that we talk about in this relationship, you can use for any relationship. And the reality is, in life, we are all going to do relationships. We get relationships going up and down and sideways, and family relationships, et cetera, et cetera. So we all need to be better at relationships. And so some of the principles that we'll unpack as we go along is going to help you in that. And I promise you, you'll have a good time. We always do. It's church. How can you not? I want to start off with a couple of years ago, well, quite a few now, Jenny and I were running a really big marriage seminar, and we had a big packed room, and we had everybody out. You know, it was just a whole lot of fun. People had to pay a lot of money to even come to it. And we threw out a question, and it was, how would you rate your marriage? And one being, I want to kill them. I want to kill me now. It's horrible. Somebody do something, kill something. Let's just stab something. That's number one. All the way to 10, it's bliss. I've married, heaven on earth. I'm living the happily ever after dream. So 1 to 10. Now, isn't it interesting? Who wants to know the results of that survey? So what's really interesting, what's the most interesting is, similar to this survey has been done all over the world in different situations and circumstances and settings, and the results come back almost the same everywhere you go. So the man comes back and he rates his marriage generally between 6 to 8, with an average closer to 8 than to 6. And the woman comes back and rates the relationship 4 to 6, with it being more closer to 4 than to six. Isn't that interesting? In every setting, in every circumstances, that's kind of how the different genders see it. We can't say the sexes anymore because they're fluid and you may not know which one you are today. And that's okay. You're on the journey. So whichever you want, you can then relate to whichever, you know, reading that you want. But I've got a theory on this discrepancy because, you know, I think it's because us men, we struggle to connect on an emotional level. That's why, you know, men don't really connect on their emotional level, and women are going, yeah, that's right, that's the problem. And really, because generally, for a man, it's not complicated. We're really only looking for two things in a relationship. And one of those is food. So, you know, we'll go on. But the ladies have it going on because they know that a good relationship is all about obtaining emotional balance. That's what it's about. And that is, in fact, what the experts tell us. There's books you can read on this. You can download it. You can go to town and spend the afternoon on Google. And so I have simplified all of that study for you today to make it really easy so that you can outwork this in your life as you drive home. In fact, if you take down the notes, you can just tell your husband while he's driving home what he needs to do. And that is going to help. Because if you could just sort that husband out, hey, ladies, life would be better. So here it is. Here is all you need to know to have a perfect relationship. You ready? All you need is respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. Piece of cake. So ladies, this is how easy it is. Just find yourself a man who selflessly gives you respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. And I can see a lot of you are smiling because you know you're married to that person who's fulfilling every one of those. And you're like going, wow. This is why we got such a great relationship. You know, in fact, the reality is, you know, this can apply to any relationship that you have. You could, you know, maybe tomorrow when you head off to work, pull your boss aside. Just up in the corner, just quietly, and just go, you know what? We can improve things in this place. If you just give me respect, encouragement, comfort, security, support, acceptance, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection, we'll be fine. All I can say is, how has that been working for you? You know, if your spouse is right next to you, why don't you look at them and just think, are they ticking every one of those boxes? John's spouse isn't even here. Hey, that's wrong. Yeah. You know, the reality is for us that we're going, man, we look at this person and we're going, well, honey, I'm glad you turned up today, but you got a long way to go. Could you imagine if we scored our relationships every afternoon? You know, before you sit down for dinner, you took 5 minutes. Maybe you sat out on the back deck or on the veranda somewhere and you had a glass of Maison. And and then you just scored your relationship. Now, I would be all for that except for one thing, that the husbands may find that there's rat kill in the soup that night from the wives who were really ticked off at you. So I'm so glad that we don't. So instead of, I think, going to what the experts say we should be doing, I'm just gonna throw it out there because I'm a crazy preacher like this. I'm going to suggest we go to the Word of God. So today, we're going to have a look at what the Word of God says. And there's a gazillion verses on relationship and on marriage and on making it better in the Bible. So every time I look at this, I just try to pull out something a little bit different. So as we walk through this over this next little while together, I just want you to come with me on this journey where we're going to take something, you know, that is actually really quite deep, and we're going to make it very easy. Because I know this, that if I make it difficult for you, you're going to go, that was a great message, Rick, but you're not going to do it. So if I make it easy for you to do, then just maybe you'll take something out of this message today and you'll apply it into your world. And I promise you, it will improve your relationships. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says these words, "Don't do anything for selfish purposes." When I read that verse out, it just about disqualifies everybody here. Because this is probably where we come unstuck very, very quickly. Don't do anything for selfish purposes. If we challenge ourselves, most of what we do is for selfish purposes. Here's probably the only exception to the rule. So I'm not a very selfish man at all. As long as the world is revolving around me, I find I'm very genuine and giving. And I remember when I first was dating my wife at that time, and I would go out of my way to spend time with her, to be in her company, to, you know, invest in her. I would make sure I paid for the meals that we went out and you know, did together. I would put, hundreds of dollars worth of petrol through my car, driving to see her, driving back. And you know what? I felt like it didn't cost me anything. Because why? Because my mind wasn't focused on me. It was on her. On trying to, you know, impress this lady and trying to win her over. And so it's interesting that at the start, I was so enthusiastic about that. And I did it without even thinking about it. But the reality was, I did do it. And then along the way, something happens and we begin to shift from, you know, not doing things for selfish purposes, and then we end up doing them for selfish purposes. And so here's the thing. The Bible goes on and says, don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others. And that's probably the major point here, isn't it? Think of others as better than yourselves. Even if they're not, could you imagine how your relationships would change if you're speaking to one of your coworkers and you are thinking of them as better than you? That you're literally elevating them in your conversation. How do you think they're going to respond to you? If you're speaking down to somebody, how do you think they're going to feel? Well, they're going to feel like you're speaking down to them. But if you're building them up, how do you think that'll feel? One of the most powerful things that they did bring in, they brought in a lot of stupid things, but one of the powerful things that they brought into with training with kids is we call it level conversation. And what that means is when I'm talking to a three-year-old, I never address them like this when I'm trying to bring correction into the world. You know what I do? I get down at their level because it creates a sense of value for their world. And so instead of being up here speaking down, I'm speaking at their level to encourage them and build them up because I want to build them up. Could you imagine if you spent just next week before your conversations that you had going, how can I make that person feel more important? How can I think of them as greater than myself? And why would I think that I'm better than them anyway? What are the things that make me think that way? Because the Bible says that I'm supposed to think of others as better than myself. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, which we naturally do, watch out for what is better for others. I want to encourage you, if you just took this verse today and began to apply it into your relationships at any level, you would see significant improvement in how you deal and relate to other people. When you shift that focus from yourself onto other people, something shifts in your whole world. When you shift your, you know, the only way you can shift your focus from yourself onto others is to be able to create a place of security in yourself. And I discovered this quite by accident. I had been going along my life, you know, merrily for many years. And then I was looking out at the sea of humanity and discovered a great hidden truth that everybody loved me. Everybody did. And everybody wanted to be my friend. And Facebook has only confirmed that since. I get friend requests all the time. And I go, no. No, I don't do that. But the reality was, and I remember telling and sharing this with my wife, and she thought I'd lost my mind. She goes, how can you think that way? Because I said, because to think the opposite is to doom me to a life of insecurity. But if I step back and I have an attitude that everybody loves me, everybody wants to be my friend, I'm a great person to get along with, I'm a great person to know, everybody kind of wants me in their world. Woo, Rick, he's the life of the party. He is the party. He is party, Rick. You know, his head is so shiny, it's like one of those bulbs, like the, you know, dance balls. You know, just whatever it is. The reality is this. The moment I start to think that way, insecurity begins to drop away. And then when I'm meeting people, then when I'm talking to people, then when I'm building relationship, I don't need to do it for me. Because I already feel that security. I already know, of course they love me. So I can do it for them. And then I can begin to speak life into their relationship. Then I can approach the whole thing differently rather than, but you don't meet my needs, but you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do something else. I literally approach it with a whole different mindset because I'm going, I'm not doing anything now for a selfish purpose because I'm already loved. This is not a gap in my life. I'm able to securely go and about this. So I'm not saying today that you've got a bad relationship. I know your relationship is on a journey like any of them, or that you're not moving ahead. But today we want to start this series of how to make it great, how to make this relationship great. And over the next little while, we're going to use an acronym so we can remember it, and it is the word GREAT. How do we make our relationship great? Well, we're going to make it great. And I spent a lot of time on this, so be incredibly impressed, all right, as we go along. Even if you're not impressed, just go, wow. Anyway, just randomly in inappropriate stages, that would be great. Thank you. Some people listening. Great. So here's the acronyms. It's GROW, REAL, ENCOURAGE, ANCHORED, and TREASURE. GROW, REAL, ENCOURAGED, ANCHORED, and TREASURE. And we're going to break those down. Not all today, so that's okay. Don't worry about it. We're just going to launch it today. We're going to get back into it. But today, I just want to start this on the first one, which is grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. And I began to pray about this whole thing, this whole concept of letting it grow. And I thought about a couple of things. Number one, I thought about, my wife isn't here, so I actually could preach over here now because she's not here. And I thought about my wife's incredible ability to grow plants. There's laughter there because there's none. My wife can kill plants that seemingly should not be able to be killed. In fact, I've seen plastic plants die in our house under her care. Some people have an anointing for growing things, others, you know, she just kills the plant. You know, she's great with lots of other things. Plants are not one of them. And I thought about it, and I'm going, how come she's able to kill these plants? So there's two things that my wife, you know, does. Don't tell her, okay, this is just between you and me. We keep it a secret, all right? We love each other. We take care of our pastor. There is the occasion that my wife will plant a plant and water it once and then leave it. Generally, with that level of neglect, it does die. She doesn't even notice that it's died because it died, it went away, and it's grown back, and there's just dirt there or grass. And she goes, I should get a plant for there. And you're going, you had three. But anyway, this is what she mostly does. You know what she does that mostly kills the plants that she buys? She overwaters them. She tries too hard to make it grow. In your relationships, just let it grow. Just let it grow. It is the most natural thing in the world for a relationship to want to grow. Let it. Sometimes, I believe, we're trying too hard to make them, take them, shake them, bake them. Just let them. Let them grow. I love the fact that so many times I could imagine being with Jesus on the journey with the disciples. How many times must have he had to hold his tongue? Because he was surrounded by imbeciles that looked a lot like you or me. You know, 1 second Peter's going, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you. You know, he, blessed are me. Next second, you're an idiot, Satan. They call me Satan. I'm quitting. The reality is just let it grow. Let it grow. So many times we get so caught up trying to squeeze people through this cookie cutter of what we think it should look like instead of just letting it grow. Dale Bronner said this, true love isn't found, it's built. It's intentional. How? And here's how. Not by shaping them, by changing you. By taking the eyes off others and looking at yourself, and in humility valuing them, literally valuing them as greater than you. Because I've discovered something so powerful over the years, your relationship is actually always growing. That's the truth of it. Whether you realize it or not, every one of your relationships are growing. They are either growing better or they are growing bitter. And the truth of the matter is, you get to choose which one. Through your choices and your actions, you begin to either sow into that or take out of that. That you might be trying to squeeze into them and you're pouring on the water and you're, you know, drowning them in fertilizer and it just burns out their root system and they can't handle it anymore. And you wonder whatever went wrong, but I was telling them what to do. I was sorting them out. Just let it grow. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 says these words, "May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows." Do you see this progression? God is the one who's the author behind this. He's created it. He's created this heart that a man should leave his mother and father, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become transitional word, one flesh. That there is this journey that we're meant to take. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What is that? That's about this walk of relationship. That David and Jonathan met each other and the Bible says their hearts were knit. That's the power of relationship. David didn't go, you know what, if I'm going to be king, I need to probably build a great, strong relationship with somebody key. You know, Jonathan, that's probably a good plan. He's about my age. Yep, we'll get on. I'll just maneuver myself over there, give him my business card, play a little bit of music, and see if we've got some similar traits. No. He just let it grow. And sometimes instead of trying so hard to make you or that person something that they're not, just let it grow. Because if it's alive, it grows, Pastor Mark says. It's the most natural thing in the world for it to grow. So if it's not growing, that's the point that you need to start figuring out what's stunting the growth. And mostly, it's us. We're the ones. Because have you ever figured, think about this, the question you have to ask, does God want it to grow? Well, if he created it to grow, of course he wants it to grow. So if it's not growing, then it can't be God's fault. So there's quite potentially something that you're doing that's stunting that growth. I'm either doing this or I'm not doing that, but I need to look at this because I know that when I first got together with this person, it, from my perspective, it almost required no energy to make it grow. So what shifted? Perspective. That's all. All that energy that I was expending at the start, you know, now I'm not expending. And I know sometimes in my role I get to see people right at the end of the journey. You know, they're about to get a divorce and they just want to feel good about themselves, so they make a time to see the pastor, but they kind of already made their decision. And one of the things that they said to me, you know, it's like, okay, how come you guys are, you know, divorcing or getting broken up? And they go, well, to be perfectly honest, Pastor Rick, it's happened over this long period of time, but we've grown apart. You know, we've just grown apart. We don't have anything in common anymore. And I go, that is awesome. And they like look at you. They're like, what are you saying? I said, that is so cool. Because here's the cool thing. If you grew apart over all this period of time, you can get motivated and grow back together. Because if you grew apart, it means that you put attention and detail into pursuing yourself and your own things instead of pursuing what you used to pursue together. Here's the craziest thing. I say this to people all the time. I said, do you remember when you got married? And I took it up a little bit, you know, And the man standing there, and I said, she pops out to walk down that aisle. And I said, that's about as good as she's ever going to look. You know, you just got to, it's like the new car thing, you know, just, yeah, smell the leather of that new car, you know, that. And once you sat in it and you just let, you know, some McDonald's get in there and you know, it just changes the smell. Anyway, the reality was this, that you're standing there, you're looking down that aisle, and you have never seen anything like that before. This is heaven on earth. This is an angel without wings. And she's coming to you. And you fell in love. And it's like, we're going to live happily ever after. And then you fast forward a little bit. And they go, I don't even know why I got married. You did, but you forgot. You thought that was the end. It was the beginning. Let it grow. You don't have to water it every day. Can you imagine tomorrow morning somebody standing there putting water on there? Pastor told me to water it. Get out of bed and make me breakfast. Good luck with that. You may get stabbed in the eye. But the reality is this. Just let it grow. And in that, don't be absent while you're in the room. Don't be absent while you're in the room. So give your attention to it, because when it when it begins in that kind of a realm for you, you'll notice those little things. You kind of look at it and you go, you know what, I don't need to water it. I don't need to nag, but I need to be present. What can I do to help? You know, you're looking at your wife and she's all frazzled. And, you know, she's running around, she's doing the dishes and she's doing the ironing. And then she's, you know, doing the washing at the same time. And then she's out there with a scythe doing the mowing. You know, because you're too lazy to fix the mower. And you're sitting there watching the Bathurst 1000. And you go, honey, you look really stressed today. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be extra quiet. Who knows that that's being absent? But maybe you could look out and go, what can I do to help? And which is a scary thing because I never encourage, really, can I be honest with you? Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, right? Don't ever ask what I can do for help because they will give you the worst job that you could imagine. Yeah, let me give you a clue. Husbands, this is a lesson from Rick, right? If you want to help it grow, you need to come up with the job that you can do, that you're okay to do, and then you go to, honey, you look so busy. How about I help with all that hard washing? She goes, would you do? I'd love to do the washing for you because it is so complicated to get the clothes and chuck them in the washing machine. Apparently, you're supposed to use powder or something, but you don't need to. You just put them in there, and magically, it just does everything. I do all the washing in my family. That's or every week. I love doing the washing because it is the easiest job in the world. I used to scrub the collars because I'm a bit OCD with the collars and things like that. I don't do that anymore. I buy the little spray. I just spray the collars, chuck it in, watch that baby wash. I don't do the washing. The washing machine does the washing. I take the dirty clothes and go, God help, throw them in like the bin, push the button, put a little bit of powder in, and hey, presto. And then I make the kids hang them up. Because I don't like hanging them up either. Isn't that right? And Mel doesn't like it so much, they don't even hang them up. They just put them in the dryer and shrink everything. That's why Graham's jeans, he actually had baggy jeans, but let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. No, let it grow. Keep it real. Keep it real. Be real, because if it isn't real, it's a real mess. That's the reality. Sometimes we try too hard to be something that we're not in our relationship, especially in the early days. Hey, guys, if you're trying to, you know, impress somebody, I always say, don't try to chase people, try to attract them. But be you, because if you're not you, they're going to figure it out sooner or later. And one of the most exciting things for me as a pastor is exactly why I chose this role. Because people would say to me, man, you should, you know, do the traveling thing and speak all over the world. And I said, that would be awesome. Except here's the greatest thing. I can't say anything from the platform today that won't bite me tomorrow. You know, because I'm going to see all the people next week. I said, the greatest thing that I love is it's got to be real. I can't get up here and just make something up. Because you're going to see it in my life. You're going to see it manifest in my kids. You're going to see it through the years. I'm going to walk you through you growing up. I'm going to marry some of you. I'm going to marry some of your kids. I'm going to bury some of you and some sooner than others. You know, but don't feel bad about that. I'm going to live forever because only the good die young. And so, yeah, who's with me? Yeah, I'm really bad. That's great. But the reality is, that's one of the most beautiful things because it helps keep it real. So it's the same thing. When you first started going out with them and, you know, you used to brush your teeth every 2 seconds, turn around, hi. Now, and they would go, Lord Jesus, you are just beautiful. Now you go, hi, and they go, oh, that's the devil. Keep it real. You want it to grow and you go, it's not growing, honey, it died. It's died and it's in your mouth. So, but the greatest thing about having great relationships, the greatest thing about having good relationships around you is people who really love you, they can help you keep it real. So I encourage you, you know, look for some people in your world who can help you keep it real and they'll tell you the truth even when it's painful. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says these words, faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern. Do you see how they correct out of? They correct out of love and concern. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful because they serve his hidden agenda. What's the difference? One is out of selflessness and one is out of selfishness. One is backed up from our key verse, doing I'm thinking of others, and one is kind of I want to position myself. But when we keep it real, we begin to pull that back and we go, hey, I love you. You're amazing. Here's really where you are and here's where we want to be. So let's start this journey together. Let's do it. Let's take this journey together. And when we're keeping it real, also keep it realistic. So that's very, very important because some people want it to be real, but if it's never been like that, it's not going to suddenly be like that. If he, you know, he's never been one who, why don't you write me a song, honey? I don't even sing, you know, and she just wants you to be something like that. If she's never been like that, then don't expect somebody to be what they're not. You know, and so just be realistic in those expectations that you have for each other. Because sometimes, I don't know, I think we take this relationship for so far, and we accept them for a long time, but then it begins to shift, and we have expectations on them that they're just not going to live up to. And they didn't shift. Think about that. They were always kind of like that. He doesn't really talk to me that much, you know. He's very shallow emotionally. Welcome to all of the people. It's like he doesn't care. We don't. We love you, but we don't care. Correct. You know, people are like, I just want you to connect with me and ask me how my day is. That's the last thing we want to ask, because if we ask you how your day was, you'll tell us. We don't want to know. That's why we don't ask. I can see women all over the place. See what you do. You don't want a spouse. You want a girlfriend. The reality is that we're not wired that way. We already worked that out right back at the start of the message. Remember, we're emotionally already, you know, terrible. Just give us food and we'll be okay. Water. Let's call it water. Food and praise. Hallelujah. Anyway, the reality is, had to go there. Be realistic in what you're expecting from that other party. And if you're the deep guy and your wife is not the deep one, then don't look for it. Let her off the hook. Enjoy them for who they are. Let them bring to the relationship what they've got, because they're not your project, they're your helpmate. Just enjoy what they bring to the table as the band comes. In that, we need to be wise in how to be realistic, because sometimes we want to live out a relationship with wisdom, but we don't live out a relationship based on how we feel. We base it on what the Word of God says. We got to wash it through what the Bible says, not just how we feel. Because you've got to be wise enough to know when to speak up and when to shut up. Because sometimes in being real and being realistic, we just go, well, I'm going to get real honest with you then. No. You keep your real honest to yourself until you wash it through what the Bible says. Because sometimes you don't need to tell them all that they're doing wrong. You need to speak life into them and their relationship. You know, the times in our relationship with Jen and I, many times in our life, we've gone through the high highs and the low lows. And I remember one time when she was trying to help me. I think she wanted to do all of them. And so we were trying to find a marriage counselor and stuff like that to speak into our life. And she found a couple, and they were like, well, you know, you should leave him and maybe it's not right. And she was like, I'm never going back to them again. I want somebody who's going to speak life into my relationship. I want somebody who's going to speak hope into it, a future into it. And you know, and then when they met me, they go, man, girl, you're married to the man. No, they didn't say that at all. Just that's how I pictured it happening, but it didn't. They're like, man, you got some work to do. Man, I got no hair and I've got to work. Let it grow. Keep it real. Just keep it real. Let it grow. Keep it real. It's all about the little changes that we make along the way that will make it great. That's all. Just those little incremental changes, little by little, like the song goes. You know, can I sum up the whole message today going back to our key verse? We'll throw it up on the screen. I want you to see what it says here. Think of others. Think of others. Just to sum up everything that we're going to talk about, just think of others. Think of others. Think of others. You want to have a great relationship, just think of others. As we just finish up, you know, God was the one who thought of others when he loved this world so much that he sent his son, because he was thinking about you. Before the foundation of the world, he was thinking about you. Thinking of others. Maybe you came out here today, and I don't know where everybody is in their walk with God, but I've been thinking about you. I have maybe not even met you, but I've been thinking about you and praying for you today. because my heart is for those who don't know Jesus, for those who don't have a great relationship with God, haven't been able to let it grow, struggling to keep it real. Or you may know about religion, you may know about good and bad, you may feel like you've let God down or you don't measure up. But I love what Trish said, but it, you know, is that not enough? Was the cross not enough to prove that? Keep it real. He wants to have a real relationship with you, that you can relate to Him. The creator of the universe wants a personal relationship with you. And this morning, I want to invite you to start that journey. And I would love the great honor and privilege to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we close our eyes and bow our heads in this place, I believe God is speaking to you. Some people have been disconnected away from God, maybe never really switched from religion to relationship. My job today is just the introduction to start the process. Your job is to say, Father God, forgive me, and Jesus, come. I want to get to know you. I want to build a relationship with you. And if you're in that place this morning and you're really feeling that God is speaking to you and you want to make a decision for Jesus, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just between you, me and Him, I'd love to encourage you. If that's you today, I'd love you to lift your hand. I'll see it. You can put it back down in this place. God is speaking to you right now. I don't want to miss anybody. And you want to make a decision for Jesus as I look across right now. Just lift your hand. God bless you, darling. I see that hand. It's awesome. Anyone else today in that place, God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, give it up. Give it up. Great decision. God bless you. God bless you up the back there. That's so cool. Fantastic. Let's pray right now, Father. Lord, you see these hands that went up today. You saw the hearts that opened up. Wow. And that we'd start this process to get to know you. So, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for this introduction, that you would come, you begin to flood their world, flood their lives, let them really sense that you are here with them and that you love them. And I pray today that they would start that journey of relationship, that they would let it grow, keep it real, start the process of knowing you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, why don't we give it up for those people?